The scripture reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death.
Amen.
성경의 출애굽 백성들의 모습은 인간 경작을 받고 있는 우리의 모습입니다.
The people of Israel during the time of the Exodus is an example. It could be a reflection for all of us who are going through human cultivation. You know, they were disobedient many times. Although they experienced the power of God so many times, they saw so many things through the man of God, Moses. But they rejoiced when they saw something, but soon after that, if they didn't like something, they began to complain. And we might feel sorry for them. But in fact, they are just like us. We are just like them.
When
God sometimes even said, I dislike and what they are doing, and I will punish them. But through the intercession of Moses, God allowed for them to have a time of repentance. And the people of Israel, they turned from their sins. They repented. But in fact, they didn't really turn from their heart. So even so right before they went into Canaan land, they couldn't obey. And as they said, as they complained, they went through the trials for 40 years in the wilderness, and eventually they couldn't go into the land of Canaan. That was the case with the first generation of the Exodus. But those second generation, second generation of the Exodus, they were obedient to God, and they finally went into the Canaan land. And I said, we are not so different from the first generation of Exodus. God said, I will discard them, I will punish them and destroy them, but through the intercession of Moses, they were saved. And in fact, we have received this kind of grace in our lives too. We had many chances of repentance. And you know it very well yourselves. And now, right now, we are having a time of a special grace again. The first generation of Exodus, they had the time of repentance. They had the chance to turn from their wrong ways, but they all died in the wilderness. Except for Joshua and Caleb, who are among the 12 spies, they went into the Canaan land. You know, we also love the world. We committed sins willfully. But by the intercession of the senior pastor, we had a chance for repentance. And we could have repented, but we couldn't hope for a better heavenly dwelling place. But the grace was so great. The first generation of Exodus, they couldn't go into the Canaan land. But for us, we have a chance to be changed as the original voices thundered. So with that, God is making us into men of spirit and men of Holy Spirit, and He wants to lead us to the city of New Jerusalem. That is, we are living in this kind of a time of blessing. In fact, it was not something possible. But God the Father has given us another chance, and to create this kind of a chance, our shepherd had been praying alone for such a long time. And we should feel this love in our heart once again and not miss this chance. So this time is not only for pastors and Levites. All the church members should be changing so that they can stand on the rock of faith. That is what God is telling us. Within these 3 months, we can be changed quickly. And after that, until the leadership conference in July, if we can stand on the rock of faith, and if many of you stand on the rock of faith, it'll be such a great blessing. And also, after the leadership conference, you can march on towards the Spirit and then towards Holy Spirit. So, to give you this kind of a time of blessing, God has allowed us this time of grace, and whether to catch the chance or not, it depends on you. It's up to you. So I hope you will catch it and receive all these blessings. In every time of repentance, we kind of we made up our mind, but soon after that, sometimes we changed our mind. We cannot deny the power of God that is taking place in this church, so you cannot leave this church. You know, your sins are being pointed out, and you are being told that you have to cast away sins, and if you believe it from the heart, and if you do it with love, it is easy. But if you are kind of coerced, if you feel you are forced to do that, it is not easy. But because we are seeing the power of God, the evidences of the living God, we still go this way. But if you feel you are forced to do that, it is not easy. But now we have to turn from this kind of attitude. We have to love God. We have to turn from the broad way to go the narrow way. But even if it's narrow, it's not going to be hard. There is a way that you can take this narrow way with joy. So I hope you will all be changed into these people and go into better heavenly dwelling places. That's what we should do. We should cut off the world. Some people, they come to church. They are kind of forced to come to church by their family members. But so many members here, they think the rock of faith is so good. You know, in the world, they like money, they like fame, they like power. But we believers here, we love the rock of faith, Spirit, and Holy Spirit. What is the reason? And if you see, you can clearly understand, you can clearly see why the Spirit is good. You know, they are happy. You know, the worldly people, when they get old, they age. But you believers here, you become rejuvenated. You become younger. You become healthier. And you receive financial blessings. This is the evidence that you are standing on the rock of faith and going to Spirit and Holy Spirit. So if you haven't tasted this, I wish you could try to do it, you know, to experience these blessings. Don't just come and go to church from... But make up your mind, you know, not just to be a churchgoer, you know, to lead a comfortable life in faith, but, you know, exert yourself to be changed by the truth. Ezekiel 18:21-22 says, "But if the wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die." And even if God says you are a wicked man, if you turn from all your sins, and you will surely live, you shall not die. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Have you been leading a wrong kind of a Christian life? Then turn from your ways and be changed. Practice the statutes and righteousness of God, and He will not remember your past, and He will just give you blessings and answers. To turn from sins is You turn from the ways that you've been going, and you turn from your ways, and you begin to practice the word of God. God is telling us to go to the east, but you've been going to the west. So now you have to turn from the east, and you have to turn from the west, and you have to go to the east. You realize that towards the west, you realize that it is a wrong way, and you first have to stop. And if you just stop there, it is not really turning. And you stopped, and then you begin going towards west again. This is not turning. But you turn from the west, and you begin to go to the east. But then you feel it is hard, and you go back to the west, and it is not really turning away. So you have to go towards the east, and you have to keep on going so that we can follow this way of life where the Lord is waiting for us at the end. And what kind of repentance is really, what kind of turning is true repentance? I'll first talk, first deed that you have to turn is first you have to repent thoroughly. Properly. Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." There is a separation between you and your God, and it's your iniquities that separated you between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Because we are practicing sins and untruths that God hates. If we've been committing these sins, we have to stop. And now we have to repent. We confess to God that we have been committing these sins, and we have to make up our mind not to commit those sins anymore. That is the beginning of turning. The sins are rulers of sins are the enemy, devil, and Satan. So if we commit sins, it means we obey the enemy, devil, and Satan. So naturally we are departed. Distanced from God. But we still say we believe in God, and we say we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But then if we had been committing sins, we have to turn from these sins. I will explain about some of the kinds of sins. It is something more specific than just, it's sins. If we stop at being saved, then God, our shepherd, doesn't have to pray so much alone, being on the mountains. But because God wants to make us blameless and spotless, to become beautiful brides of the Lord, and to lead us to New Jerusalem, that's why our shepherd has been sacrificing himself, praying for us with his love. So let us also look back on ourselves so that we can be blameless and spotless in the sight of God. That's what I'm urging you to. I'd like you to look back on your lives. First thing that we have to look back is judgment and condemnation on the shepherd and the church and other evil thoughts related to them. Matthew 5:26 says, "Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent." One time Mrs. Lee testified, long time ago when she was preparing to go on a mission trip to Japan, she didn't get Japanese visa, so she was, it doesn't usually happen, so she wanted to find out what the reason. And nowadays, some places in the downtown Seoul, you have to pay the toll, tunnels or some highways. Especially in nowadays, we have the receptionist. We have the people there, staff. And before, we used to just throw the coins in. And one time, Mrs. Lee, in her car, she didn't pay just a couple of hundreds won, which is a couple of dimes. And the reason why she didn't get the Japanese visa was because she didn't pay those couple of dimes, the toll. And because of that, she couldn't get the visa, and she, when she paid it, you know, she did get the visa, you know, just a couple of dimes. You know, it's still the law of the country. At usual, ordinary situations, it didn't cause so much problem. But when she was needing something, when she was in need of something, it was a trouble for her. Even a little sins, maybe they don't affect directly affect the state of your salvation, but if you repent, you can still be maybe saved. But when we try to go into better dwelling places in heaven, it will disqualify us from going into a better dwelling place. So that's what we want to do. We want to look back on ourselves and repent of them, even to the last cent. You know, in 98 and 99, you heard so much that you shouldn't look or hear anything that is of untruth. And God, if you did that, God says, you do not believe me. You do not trust your shepherd. But if you didn't remember what you did, and if you didn't repent, you have to remember them. And when you repent from the bottom of your heart, the Holy Spirit will remind you of your wrongdoings, your iniquities. There was a person who was telling me, she was trying to lead a good Christian life. Once or twice a year, she would have some family problems, major problems. So she was wondering why she was not committing any sins and she was still working faithfully for the kingdom of God. One day, she had a dream that she, during the 98 and 99, she heard and saw some things that she shouldn't be seeing and hearing. She lost the inspiration of the fullness of the Spirit, and for a moment, for a couple of weeks, she was not fulfilling her God-given duties. It was not so much of a specific dream, but she had a similar dream, and she began to look back on herself. Because it was a long time, because long time had already passed, she forgot about it. But when she had the dream and looked back on herself, the Holy Spirit reminded of her what she had done wrong. So she did repent. Just like in the first generation of the Exodus, I said, we are just like them. They, the people of Israel, and when they didn't like something, they complained against Moses, the man of God, who was manifesting so much, so many signs and wonders. Sometimes they even tried to stone him to death. He was the prophet of God. And only through Moses, God gave them chances of repentance, the grace to for them to escape from Egypt. But when they didn't like something, they began to complain right away. And God said, I don't like them. When they were standing against Moses, God says they didn't stand against him, but against Moses, but God himself. So if you saw, heard, and thought about it, is it right or wrong? And if you had these thoughts, some people say, some of the family members, they were deceived by those people, evil people, and the people who caused so many troubles to the church. And after hearing from them, he decided to leave the church. He told his family members, we have to leave the church. Then there was another family member, what are you talking about? Why do you believe those words of evil people? The power of the shepherd is being manifested as in the past, in the same way. And so they didn't leave the church. And about these things, you have, if you remember, you have to check whether you repented of those things. And if you really remembered and repented, when we had the chances of repentance, your sins were forgiven. But if you didn't remember them, if you didn't repent of them, if you didn't ask for forgiveness of God, the wall of sin is still there. So you have to check this point. Trust is, if you trust somebody, And also, if you see the fruits, if you think about that time, in the beginning of 1998, God showed us so many wonderful things. God first showed to us the circular rainbow on the May 15th in 98. And we saw so many of us, our spiritual eyes were open, and we saw the faces of the prophets, and we saw so many spiritual drawings that were angels were drawing, and we could see them even without the spiritual eyes being opened. Why did God give us such great grace? Because He knew that, there were going to be trials and tests. He let us be awakened spiritually. That's what the grace of God given to us at that time, so that you could have proper discernment. The power of the shepherd is the power of God, given by God. And this power of God is real. And if the shepherd was a false prophet, how could he manifest so many powerful works of God? Then you don't have believed in God. And if, you know, if he was not man of God, how could those things take place? By the power of enemy devil? No, it's not possible. So, if you check your heart of at that time, then if you did have any doubts or any thoughts related with them, you have to realize that you disappointed God so much. They were the thoughts given by the enemy devil and Satan, and you were agreeing with Satan, and you were complying with the thoughts of Satan. So you have to be sorry before God. You have to be repenting and regretting of your thoughts. And the second thing that you have to look back is the works of the flesh leading to death. We had a time of repentance in 2010. We repented of them thoroughly, and we wrote the repentance letters. But you have to check whether you just wrote it or you really tore your heart writing repentance letters. Think of, what kind of person am I? And just like in today's reading passage, did you really have the sorrowful? Did you become really sorrowful thinking about your sins, or whether it was just a kind of a formality that you did? And if you think, oh, since 2010, December 25th, oh, I didn't commit any sins leading to death, then you have to think about whether you really try to cast away the sinful natures themselves. Even though you didn't commit the sins leading to death, now you have to be casting away the sinful natures, the fleshly things that you have in your heart. You have to check your feelings and thoughts. Then it hasn't been a problem for you. But if you didn't have that kind of deeds, it is like you were going the west and you now realize that you have to go to the east, so you stopped. But you were not really going to the east. You were just looking back, looking at the west, looking westward. Even though the people of Israel, even after escaping from Egypt, they say, oh, you know, we had meat and we were eating in Egypt. You know, they said they wished they would go back to Egypt. Even though you don't actually go back to Egypt, if you think, you know, your past sins were good, if your worldly life was good, then it means you still love the world. So I hope you will cut off the world completely, and you have to turn from those worldly things. This is true repentance. Another thing that you have to repent and is that you didn't change. You heard so many words of life in this church, and you are leaders, you have duties, and you changed so slowly. You heard so many words of life. You heard the power of God. You saw the power of God. And you didn't change quickly enough. You had the stoppages in your faith, and we have to repent of these things too. Revelation 3:15-16 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. If you are lukewarm, you come to church, but you still have sins and evil in your heart. You don't actually commit sins leading to death, but you still have longings for the world. You attend Sunday service, but after going back to the world on Monday, the workplace and schools, you live just like worldly people, unbelievers. And this is not really hot, being hot. And if you live a lukewarm life, God says, I will spit you out of my mouth. It means it has got something to do with your salvation. Because God has let us be able to check the specifics of our Christian life, the details of our Christian life. Let us realize the things that we have been doing wrong. If you come to church and if you've been praying, your faith has to grow up. You don't have an increase of your faith. You don't receive any blessings. It means you have a problem with your faith. As I read from the book of Isaiah, because there is a wall of sin between you and God, you cannot receive the answers. God says, ask and it will be given to you. God's word is the absolute truth. It is always correct. And those who are living by the word of God, they are full of testimonies. So, you have to precisely check your faith with the truth. You are attending church, but you have to realize what you have been doing wrong. So you have to repent of those things, and you have to turn from those things. You have to change. That is true repentance. I am talking about the attitude to have a true repentance. The three things I mentioned is what you have to repent, especially during these times of grace. And even though you are not really committing sins leading to death, if you are lukewarm and if you were not having any spiritual growth, if you still had fleshly thoughts, and having fleshly thoughts, if you thought you were doing fine, and it is something that you have to repent of. Then now, what kind of repentance is true repentance that is acceptable to God? That's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about this attitude of repentance. First, you shouldn't just repent with lips or thoughts. You have to repent with all your heart. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to repent with lips. You have to repent. You have to confess with your lips as well as you have to repent, turn from your heart. Joel 2:13 says, and rend your heart and not your garments. Sometimes when we are having a trouble or when we repent of ourselves, sometimes we beat our chest. But beating our chest doesn't mean it's all. We have to render our heart. And now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. You know, it shouldn't be just a formality, but it should be truthful repentance. Just because God is telling us we have to repent of it, it's sin and evil. So because God is telling us we just repent, no. We have to realize what kind of great evil this is. I did this although God hates it so much. What kind of person am I? You have to feel so sorry and embarrassed before God when you repent. This is to repent from the heart. Just because you're told that you have to write the repentance letters, you just write. And writing repentance letters is not all. After writing it, when you hand it over to the shepherd, you have to render your heart, you have to feel sorry before God, and you have to lament over your sins. When you have this kind of attitude, not just for one day or two days, according to the magnitude of your sins. Sometimes you have to be repenting so many months with tears sometimes. In some cases, you start with, I did wrong, but the next day, oh, I really did wrong. And the next day, you really burst into tears. Think of your sins before God. And You have to think about whether you really had true repentance, even though you repented. I hope you will look back on yourself once again. 2 Corinthians 7:11 says, "For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation." You know, why did I commit such sins? Why was I deceived by the voice of Satan? Why was I deceived? Why was I tempted? And why did I love the world? And why did I commit these sins? Why was I living in these sins? You have to have indignation against yourself, for yourself, about yourself. What fear? And when you're committing sins, when you're committing sins, or after you commit sins, you sometimes become fearful. You should be fearful. And if you really fear of hell, you will turn from sins. But you feel fearful momentarily, but when you go back to the world, you are not afraid anymore and you keep on committing sins. But even though you are repenting, even though you're not committing sins and even though you're repenting right now, if you still have the fear, you can still have the fear in your heart. But when you really repent from your heart, then this fear will go away. So, those who repent from their heart truthfully, when they are set free from their sins, you know, when it is a that kind of sin is pointed out, they are not afraid anymore. They are joyful. You know, before, when you heard about, you know, committing adultery and having affairs and these things, and you were, you had pricks of conscience in your heart. But now you're free from those sins, and now you're filled with true joy from your heart. But if, even if you say you repented, and if you still have the burden of sin, and if you're wondering, oh, was I really forgiven? Will God really say I'm sinless? If you have that kind of fear still, it means you didn't really have proper repentance, that you are still in progress of repenting. So you have to turn really from your sins. And you have to really turn from your sins so that, you can be completely forgiven of your sins. When you truly repent from sins, you really have to hate sins. You really have to long for the truth. What longing, what zeal. If you really turn from sins, you will punish yourself. Not somebody else. You yourself will punish, punish yourself. You will feel sorry, embarrassed, and you will rend your heart. So you fast and you cling to God. And you have to think about whether you really had true repentance. What avenging of wrong in everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. By doing this, you can be really innocent in the sight of God. So when we really repent, truthfully repent, we'll come to hate that evil. So you can turn from that evil. So you will depart from evil. The second attitude of having true repentance is to confess everything without hiding anything. To confess is to tell everything that you did wrong. Sometimes you might even forget what you did wrong. Then you have to try to remember them. So that you have to pray that you will remember them so that the Holy Spirit can remind you of your wrongdoings and iniquities. You know, not just in general. You know, you shouldn't repent just in general, but you have to repent in detail, specifically. Psalm 28:13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." Psalm 32:5 also says, I acknowledged my sin to you and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So even if you confessed, You know, if you hit something, it is not proper repentance. There is something like that in the Bible too. In Joshua chapter 7, we find the records about Achan's sin. The people of Israel, they destroyed the city of Jericho. It was something impossible. It was an impregnable city, but it was still destroyed when they obeyed the word of God. And it was destroyed. And the next battle was against the city of Ai. It was such a small city, so they thought it was easy. But then when they went to attack, they rather were defeated. At that time, Joshua asked God why it happened, and because of a sin of one of the people. So they cast lots, and precisely the one who committed sin, Achan, was selected. So they knew that it was caused by this person, so they could just kill him. But Joshua said to Achan to confess everything. Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done." So it is to give glory to God, because God selected him. So, that he, do not hide it from me. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did." So it is in contraction, because it is already explained that what kind of sins Achan committed. There is a recording. So there is a record. So this is a contraction. So this is what I did. He took a coat and some gold and silver. He confessed everything. So it was revealed that he committed sins, but then he let him confess everything. Let me give you an everyday example. Suppose the children stole some money from the wallet, the purse of the mother. The child thinks his mom doesn't know, sometimes a couple of dollars and later tens of dollars. And now, at first she didn't realize it, but now she realizes that her son is stealing from her purse. But she wants her son to turn from his wrongdoing on his own. So she just keeps quiet. But now, this son had some change in his mind, and he turns from his wrongdoing, and he makes up his mind not to do it ever again. And he comes to the mother, "Mom, I'm sorry. I did wrong. I'm sorry." He asks for forgiveness. And after hearing that, mom hears that and, "Okay, don't do that anymore." Pay attention to what this son said. "Mom, I did wrong. I'm sorry." What will the mother say then? Then she would ask, "What did you do wrong?" She knows what he did wrong. No, she knows that the son had touched her purse. But when you ask for forgiveness, you have to specify it. Only then could it be true repentance. So what did you do wrong? You know, if the son says, "Oh, you know it, mom, you know it." Is it really true repentance? If you are really sorry, you have to confess everything. And if the son is really repenting, he would say, "Mom, I stole your money many times from your purse. Mom, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. Please forgive me." This is the proper repentance. But even though he was not trying to conceal it, but if he just, "Mom, I'm sorry," then the mom would ask, "What did you do? So what is it that you did wrong?" And the mom would try to let him realize that it was unacceptable. It is such a great problem. And if she could teach him that if you steal something small, you could even steal something big later from somebody else. So if the son also realizes that he did something really wrong, he will confess. And that is true repentance. If you do not really have spiritual growth in your Christian life, if you have a stoppage that you have to repent of it, that's what I explained. And this is the same case. Oh, Father, God, I did not have so much growth in faith. Please forgive me. This is not true repentance. You have to realize what the specific wrongdoings you've been doing. So you have to realize your wrongdoings in detail. That is true repentance. Suppose you didn't miss any service, but you are always being, sometimes you are late to the service a little bit, maybe once a month. It means you lack the reverence of God. And sometimes you have idle thoughts. You daydream during the worship service. Or you think of tomorrow's schedules. Sometimes when you pray, you have meaningless repetitions. And you've been doing this for so many years. So even though you listen to the messages, you don't remember them, you don't keep them in mind. And when you pray, you don't have any earnestness. So you have to realize that it is wrong. And you shouldn't just say to God, "Oh, Father, I did wrong." You have to specify your wrongdoings. Oh, Father, I had wrong. I had idle thoughts. I was late to the service. I was daydreaming during the worship service. And you have to look back on your life and find out the details of your wrongdoings and repent of them thoroughly before God. And if you cannot turn from sins within a couple of days, then you have to sometimes repent for so many days with tears. Sometimes you have to turn even with the fasting. Suppose if you didn't pay the full tithe, then you have to repent. If you didn't give a portion to God, then it means then you have to repent of it thoroughly. So you have to specify your wrongdoings, this and this and this. Then you have to realize, and you have to find them out. And you shouldn't just be feeling sorry for that. You have to confess before God. You did this, you did that, and you did that wrong. And you have to feel the magnitude of your sin. You know, I'm not even a newcomer. I'm not even a new believer. I've been attending church for 10 years, 15 years, but I was late to the church. I was late to the service, and I wasn't really paying attention to the messages, and I couldn't keep them in my heart. I couldn't keep them in mind. And because of that, I couldn't really bear any spiritual fruit. So, related with one thing, you can realize, you can find out so many other things that are related, so that you can repent of all those things, and then you can also pull out the sinful nature, the root of those wrongdoings, so that you can receive the grace and strength not to commit the same sin ever again. Suppose you are a Levite, full-time worker of the church, and you look back on your past. Okay, you come on time and you get off on time. Then, if that is the case, you wouldn't be able to find out your wrongdoings. But if you pay attention to each minute, each hour, you know, when you do something over and over again repeatedly, then you maybe you can have some know-how, and you can reduce the time. And you should be able to do something else too. But you are doing the same thing over and over again, and you are still making a mistake, and you are still making mistakes, and you've been working as a Levite for so many years. How unfaithful is that? Not just about the sins leading to death, but even about these things, you have to feel so sorry. You were just holding it. Just like the one who had one talent and just kept it. And you have to think about these things, and you have to realize what you did wrong, what was wrong with your mindset. But you say you repent, but you do it vaguely, in general. You know your level of faith is low, and you have to increase your faith, but you don't know where to begin, because you don't know what you did wrong. You have to realize what your wrongdoings are, so you can have an improvement. You say you are a full-time worker. You our pastor, and your messages don't have life because you didn't have any spiritual messages in you. You are not changing yourself. So you have to look back on yourself. You shouldn't just say, I'm sorry, God, I didn't have spiritual growth. You have to realize what kind of person you are, what kind of wrongdoings you're doing, in what sense you are lazy, and in what sense you are not doing what you were supposed to do. And you have to realize these wrongdoings in detail, specifically. So you also, when you repent, you have to confess everything, every detail of your sins, so that you can receive the grace and power from God to turn from those sins. So you have to, rummage through your heart, every corner of your heart. So this is a special time of grace. So I hope you will not leave any of shortcomings in you. Even if you repented of major sins, if you still want to have spiritual growth, you have to pay attention to the details of your lives. Whatever is not pleasing in your sight, the attitude of your worship service, the attitude in your prayer, in your praying, and also how you apply what you've prayed for in your actual lives. So if you have to pay attention to these things, so you can realize what you did wrong, and you have to confess it with your lips, and then you can turn from those wrong ways. The third kind of attitude of repentance is that you have to have humbleness, humility. There were two people who lived at the same time in the Bible. They were both pointed out of their sins, but they had completely different attitudes. It's David and Saul. God told Saul to destroy Amalek completely, everything, even the animals. But Saul disobeyed the word of God, and he brought the animals that were good in his sight, and he captured the king of the Amalekite king. And Samuel pointed out his wrongdoing. 1 Samuel 15:19 says, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" Disobedience is evil. And Samuel pointed out his wrongdoing. But then Saul said to Samuel, he gave excuses. 1 Samuel 15:20-21. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I did obey the voice of the Lord." Samuel said, "You did not listen. You did not obey the voice of the Lord." But Saul says, "I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek." If you do something wrong, when you repent, you will say, probably say, "Oh, I did this wrong. But I did something good also, so please, in thought of that, please consider that and think, please forgive me." But Saul, he was completely misinterpreting the situation. Bringing back Agag, the king of Amalek, was completely wrong in the sight of God, but he thought he was doing right and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoils, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. He was putting the blame on the people. And after that, Samuel, God was not pleased with Saul's wrongdoing. And Samuel pointed it out once again to Saul, and Saul repented. "Oh yes, I did wrong. I'm sorry." But that was not true repentance. We can find it out soon after that while reading through the passages. 1 Samuel 15:30 says, so just before that, Saul said, "I'm sorry, I did wrong." But in verse 30, he said, "I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God." And it's something unacceptable. He says, "I know I did wrong. Okay, I did wrong. I'm sorry. but I sinned against the Lord God, but honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Is this repentance? No. Yet so much arrogance. So he couldn't repent from his heart. And God finally had to forsake him, forsake Saul. But if you turn from your sins, from your heart, God gives you chances again and again. But consider the case of David. 2 Samuel 12:13. The sin of David was adultery and taking Bathsheba. And Nathan came to David and pointed out his sin, that it was a great sin. When it happened, David, 2 Samuel 12:13, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. There is no excuse. Yes, I have sinned against the Lord. He acknowledged his sin right away. And Nathan said to David, and because of that, he had to go through such a great trial. His son Absalom turned against him. And David had to run away from his own son Absalom. And just an ordinary person, Shimei, he was throwing stones at, pebbles at him. But he said, but the king said in 2 Samuel 16:10, what have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah, if he curses? And if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? This man, Shimei, was cursing David, the king. But the David the king, he would just say, it was allowed by God, just let him be. Maybe God will consider this situation later and he'll forgive me. And because he was going through such a trial because he had committed sins before, he thought he deserved the curses, even from an ordinary person. But some people, they try to put the blame on others. You know, when they are going through the trials because of their own sins, they think it is shameful. I'm at this position. I am a leader. And because you think, if you think this way, it means you are not repenting. You are just pretending to be repenting. You are not really repenting from your heart. If you really repent from your heart, you will just humble yourself. And even though you say you repent, if you put the blame on others or the situation, it means you're not really repenting. Also, if you think, oh, others committed the same sin too, you cannot say that. And if you're going through trials because of your own sins, you shouldn't try to avoid them or you complain, saying, oh, it is too heavy, it is too hard. You should be willing to take up even greater trials. That kind of humbleness you have to have, so that your sins will be wiped away completely. And by going through the trials, you will remember your sin again and again. And finally, you will be called forgiven. Suppose you have some children. And the two brothers, they had a fight. And because they repeatedly have fights, so the parents are angry with them. And because I'm telling you many times, but you don't stop, so they are punished. The first son, being punished, he thinks, yes, mom and dad, the parents told me so many times, and I hit my brother once again. I had a fight again with him, and he regrets what he did. He has regrets over what he did, and he has repenting heart. So he thinks he deserves the punishment. So even after receiving the punishment, he feels sorry for the parents. But the second son, he's still angry. It's because of my big brother. Because of him, because he hit me, I just fought back. And so he doesn't accept his wrongdoing, and he still holds grudges against his brother. And in the sight of the parents, you know, they can see that, whether the sons are acknowledging their faults or not. So even after receiving the punishment, if you are like the second son, the parents would be worried, still worried about you. When you go through trials, you have to acknowledge the fact that you deserve to go through the trials. But rather you have to be humble that you deserved even more, but God is giving you light punishment. You have to be sorry before God. You shouldn't try to reveal yourself. You know, show yourself off like Saul did. You have to turn from sins again. You have to repent of your sins again and again. Then God will finish your trial quickly and soon give you back with blessings. Now is the time to check our faith and to be renewed. The important thing to be renewed is our proper repentance. I'm not telling you to repent of your sins that you repented already. But if you think you are doing fine, but I want you to check in the sight of God. You could have done, you could have neglected some of the things that you did wrong. And by the light of the Holy Spirit, maybe perhaps you can find out what you have forgotten. And so that you can have repent of that, so that you can have quick increase of faith. Let me conclude the message. Now the original voices sounded and there are so many testimonies. You know, you thought you could never cast away those sins. You know, even though you had some vowed prayers and you really wanted to cast them away, you couldn't really cast off those sins. But now you can. And I think you had some New Year's resolutions for the new year. Especially for the new year, you have New Year's resolutions, even physically and even in spiritual terms. You would like your spiritual life to change. But in this year, 2013, before this year, even though you try to make up your mind, you couldn't easily change yourself. And you know it. But from this year, 2013, things have changed. So many believers, they are praying more earnestly, more fervently, and our faith life has changed. And even though there are so many testimonies, it's nothing if this doesn't apply to you. God says, you know, God talks about blessings and answers to your prayers, and even though He says He'll give you, you have to do the basic things that you have to do. You still have to do the 10% that you have to do, you know, even though 90% it is freely automatically given by the grace of God. You know, the city of Jericho was destroyed. The Jordan River stopped flowing through Joshua. God said they would happen. That the Jordan River, flooding Jordan River would stop and you will just cross the river on dry land and the city of Jericho would be destroyed. But the people, they had to do their part. They had to believe in the word of God and they had to carry the Ark of the Covenant and they had to step. They had to take the step into the flooding Jordan River. You know, they didn't see the Jordan River stopped before they took the first step. They first had to take the step before it stopped flowing. They didn't see the city of Jericho falling down before they marched around for 7 days. When they did their part, you know, marching around it for 7 days, they could experience the power of God. But even though you circle around the city of Jericho 100 times, can it fall down? No, it can never fall down. But because the original voice of God was sounded, when they believed in the word of God and when they obeyed the word, it did fall down. The city actually fell down. So it's the same with us. God says it's the time of blessing, time of grace. We have to believing in that fact. You know, if you hadn't been praying, you begin to pray now. And you turn from your ways, past ways, and you begin to pray hard. You had quarrels and hatred in your heart. And you, before, in the past, you just held on to them, thinking that this is not such great sin. But now you fast and pray to cast them off, and you serve those whom you used to hate. That is your part that you have to do. Just with one deed, you can bear 9 times more fruits out of 10. So that to make this grace given to us, our shepherd is still praying on the mountains, praying to God. Marching around the city of Jericho was a deed of faith. And what is greater than that deed of faith is the city of Jericho actually falling down. That is the night. And obeying, marching around it was not something so big. You know, just march around it. Then this big thing, great thing of the destruction of city, what's going to take place. So if you do your part, just 10% of your effort, then you will quickly receive the blessings. As Pastor Mi-Young Lee said in the Friday online service, God says God will give us the grace to bring you to the rock of faith. But if you don't pray, you're still far away from the rock of faith. So think about what you have to do. And even though you're doing them, you have to realize in which part your effort, your heart, and your actual truthfulness is missing. So change them so that you can receive blessings. You can realize, I talked to you about repentance, true repentance today. And if you realized your wrongdoings, you can just turn from those ways. I hope you will look back on your past ways and change them into the pleasing ways that are in the sight of God. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Good Father God, thank you for giving us the grace and power to change. It's not possible just by our own effort, but the original voice of the shepherd has been sounded and all these things were made possible. And when we turn from our heart, everything will be possible. Let us also remember whatever we forgot. We received a prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on sick parts. And those who are not sick, receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses and infirmities go away, light come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases including malaria. All contagious diseases including cold, flu, fever go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and on all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with the blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.